Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Makos Daf Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. On the upper part of Daf Tes, the Gemara opens up with a quote from the Mishnah. The Mishnah had mentioned Hakol Goylin Al Yudei Yisrael V'Yisrael Goylin Al Yudeihem Chutz Miger Toshav, that anyone who kills a Yisrael B'Shogeg will go into exile to the Ir Miklot, to the city of refuge, and a Yisrael who kills any of them also will go into a city of refuge, with the exception of a Ger Toshav. A Ger Toshav is a Gentile who accepted upon himself to abstain from idolatry. However, outside of that, he has not accepted upon himself gerus in the fullest sense of the word of Taryag Mitzvos. How are we to view a Ger Toshav? What status does he have? So from the fact that the Mishnah said that the Ger Toshav is an exception, Almo Ger Toshav Oivei Kechovim Hu, that with regard to this halacha of Ir Miklot and Retzach B'Shagoga, inadvertent killing, he's categorized as an idol worshiper. That is what it seems to be as far as our Mishnah is concerned. Before we go further in the Gemara, we'll take note of some of our markings. We notice a Roman numeral number one appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and in the margin you'll notice a Nosei Mivne heading, a topic heading, and structural note. So the Roman numerals are featured 1 and 2, Shnei Lashonois B'Haloas Stirois B'Inyan Ger Toshav, two versions that the Gemara presents regarding a contradiction within the issue of how to categorize a Ger Toshav. We'll also see the use of diamonds here, the Yishuvam, the resolution of these contradictions, Al Yudei Rav Kana, through Rav Kana, whose name, as you can see, appears in the diamond. So, as we've opened up the Gemara by saying that from the Mishnah it seems that Ger Toshav is categorized as an idol worshiper, Amos Seifa, state the continuation of the Mishnah. And you can see this appears in a frame, as do all Tanaic sources and quotes from Tanaic sources in the marking system appear. Ger Toshav, Goyla, Al Yudei Ger Toshav. The Mishnah makes a provision for a Ger Toshav in the event that he commits a murder inadvertently. He will go into exile, into the city of refuge, if he kills another Ger Toshav. That would indicate that he's not treated as an idol worshiper. Amar Rav Kahana, Loi Kasha, Kan beger toshav shahora ger toshav. In that case, we say Goyla goes to exile to the city of refuge. That's in the event that he kills a like individual, another ger toshav. Kan beger toshav shahora Yisrael. In a case where a ger toshav murders a Yisrael inadvertently, then we say Golos is not sufficient, but rather he shall be subject to a death penalty. Ika de Rami Kroi Ahadadi. There is another version that presents what appears to be a contradiction in Psukim. Ksiv Livne Yisrael Vlager Lutoshav Besuchum Tiena Shesha Orim. In this Pasuk, you see that the Ger Toshav is included in being a beneficiary of the cities of refuge. Uksiv, on the other hand, there's another Pasuk that says, Vehoyu Lochem Heorim Lemiklot. And we infer Lochem Veloy Lagerim. And we've dashed underlined Velo Lugerim, this is to the exclusion of the Ger Toshav. Omar Rav Kana, Lo Kashya, there's no need to view this as a contradiction. Kan beger Toshav Sharag Yisrael, in such a case we say Eino Goyla, that would be the second Pasuk that said Lochem. And Kan, the first Pasuk that indicates the Ger Toshav is a beneficiary of the Ir Miklot, beger Toshav Sharag Ger Toshav, where he committed the inadvertent murder with a like individual. v'romini. The Gemara now raises a contradiction from a source. Lefikach ger v'oivei kichovim shehargu neherogin. This source is an excerpt from a topic dealing with the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And in this source, it seems to link together or parallel a ger with an idol worshiper. Katani ger dumya devi kehovim. This source teaches ger similar to an idol worshiper. Ma ovi kehovim lo shno dekoto bar minei velo shno dekoto dolav bar minei neherag. With regard to an idol worshiper, there is no distinction made whether he kills someone else like himself, a fellow idol worshiper, or someone that is different. He is murdered. He is executed. Af ger lo shno dekoto bar minei velo shno dekoto dolav bar minei neherag. Here we've dashed underlined the expression neherag, indicating executed. What do we see here? That with regard to a ger toshav as well, no distinction is made. In other words, unlike the Gemara above, where the Gemara was saying we do make a distinction between his killing someone of a like nature versus someone different, here we're saying loshna, it doesn't matter. Under all circumstances, the ger toshav is executed in the event that he commits an inadvertent murder. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form, a triangle. And the triangle in our marking system is similar to any other geometric form indicating a series of something. So here on the side of the Gemara, we have noted the reason for the triangle. Notice the triangle, like the diamonds above, had colored in tips. This is to distinguish them from previous diamonds that appeared in the sugya on the previous omid, where there's no relationship between what appears here and there, so we try to make a distinction in the way the markings appear as well. So here we have a triangle with a colored in tip. On the side of the Gemara, the Nosei Mivneh heading, you see Shtei Tshuvos Liyashiv Stir Binyan Golos Liger Toshav. Two answers. They're marked off also as 1 and 2. 1 is by Rav Chisda, and later we'll see Rabo. Two resolutions to resolve this seeming contradiction within the issue of Golos, exile for a Ger Toshav. So, as we continue in the Gemara, Omar Rav Chisda, Lo Kashya. Kan Shehorgoy Derech Yerida. Kan Shehorgoy Derech Aliyah. In the case that the Ger Toshav kills a Ger Toshav in a downward movement, then there is Golos, there is exile to the Ir Miklat, to their city of refuge. However, if he commits the murder in an upward movement, the details of downward and upward were subjects discussed in earlier sugyas in this Masechet. In that case, so then there's no Golos. And now an elaboration. Derech Yerida. And you can see underneath that we've also underlined, just like we've underlined Derech Yerida, we've also underlined Derech Aliyah to highlight the topic. So Derech Yerida, the Yisrael Goli, in the event that a Jew commits an inadvertent murder in a downward motion, the Jew is sent to the city of refuge. Ihunami, the Ger Toshav as well, Sagi Leibagolos, it's sufficient that he goes into exile. Derech Aliyah, the Yisrael Potter, in the case of an upward inadvertent murder done by a Yisrael, we say there is exemption from exile. Hu Neherag, he, the Ger Toshav, is executed. One may feel there's a little bit of a logical problem here, because in the case of the Yisrael, we cite exemption, in other words, greater laxity. Why is it then, in the case of the Ger Toshav, is there all of a sudden extreme severity? Amar Lei Rambo, V'lav Kal V'chomer Hu. Can we not apply to this Kal V'chomer reasoning, which would result in a different outcome? Uma Derech Yerida. Mind you, in the downward motion that the execution, that the murder is committed, the Yisrael Goli, Ihu Nami Sagi Lebegolos, we said that a Yisrael is given the benefit of a city of refuge, and we've also said that he, the Ger Toshav, also receives that benefit. Derech Aliyah, the Yisrael Potter, here in a in a direction of leniency, where we say the Yisrael, if the inadvertent murder was committed in an upward movement, that the Yisrael is exempt. Ihu nerag, could it be that the Ger Toshav is executed? Ela Omar Rabo. Rabo therefore takes a new approach to the issue of the contradiction. Under what circumstances will we say that the Ger Toshav is executed, like we saw in the Tanaic source that was cited at the beginning of the long question that mentioned, L'fikoch ger v'vikochovim shogu neharogin. So Rabba says, Ba'oimer mutar, in the case that he says that it's okay, that it's acceptable to commit murder. If someone murders with that mindset, according to Rabba, Omer mutar is subject to being executed, to execution. Omar le Abaye. Abaye questions Rabba's approach and says, Omer mutar onasu. One who thinks that it's okay to murder, he is categorized as onus, someone who is operating on an uncontrollable fashion, and as a result of that, we're not going to execute him. Let us point out that Abaye represents Rav Chisda's approach to things, because we saw above Rav Chisda was attacked by Rabba. Abaye, who in turn is attacking Rabba, he represents the Rav Chisda approach. Let's go over a certain point that we should have mentioned earlier. Rabba, who said Omer Mutar is executed, the reason for that is because he should have learned, that's called Hoyo Loy Lumod, he should have learned that murder is forbidden. And by virtue of the fact that he didn't learn that, that's sufficient grounds for his execution. Continuing in the Gemara, after Abaye pointed out that Omer Mutar is Onus, Rabba says, Omar Le, Shani Omer, I say Omer Mutar, Korov the Mezitu. It is very close to a situation of premeditated murder. And as a result of that, the death penalty is carried out. The Ozdu Litamayu, they, Rabba and Rav Chisda, are consistent with what they've said elsewhere. We're going to see another case. We're not going to see an exact replication of what the discussion we just saw. It will be our job to extract the essential commonality between that which we'll see now and that which was said before. So the Gemara says, also the Tamahu, they are consistent with what they said earlier, elsewhere, the Idmar. Kosovor behemo v'nimtza odom. If a person killed something, thinking that it was an animal, and it turned out to be a person, this is called, Rashi explains, this situation is similar to Omer Mutar, where he thought one thing, but it really was something else. He should have learned the topic, or he should have learned the situation better. So that's called Hoyo Loy Lilmoid. Another example, Kinani, he thought that the person he was aiming for was a Canaanite, the Nimtza Ger Toshav, and it turned out to be the Ger Toshav, the type of person we described above. Rova Omer, Chayov, Omer Mutar, Korov, Lemezid Hu. Rabba, in this case, will be consistent with what he said above, that he is Chayav Misa, he's Chayav to be executed. In these cases of Kosovor Behema, the Nimtza Odom, or Kinani, the Nimtza Ger Toshav, he would be executed because he should have learned the situation better. Rav Chisda Omer Potter, Omer Mutar, Onus Hu. Omer Mutar is considered beyond his control, and hence exempt. Before we go further, let's glance at the Tosfos underneath the Gemara text, the second wide line, the Ozu L'Tamayu, Rav Chisda Demuki La Derech Aliyah V'Oz Ne'arag. Rav Chisda, who above said that the source that described the ger toshav being executed is because the murder was committed in an upward movement, the oz nehrag, and as a result of that he is executed. Velo muki lo be'oimer muter. Rav Chisda did not set up the source above, which said that the ger is nehrag, as an omer muter case, mishum desvirule, because Rav Chisda is of the opinion the omer muter onesu, and therefore he would be exempt. He wouldn't be nehrag. He wouldn't be executed. Velo miktal, and not killed. The Rabba is lay ibcha. Rabba has the opposite approach. The derech aliyah lo miktal. The onesu, that an upward movement, an inadvertent murder done in an upward movement, is called onus. The omer muter miktal, as opposed to the case of omer muter, where he is to be executed. The hoyolo lumad velo lamad. He should have learned that it's not muter, that it's not allowed to murder, and he didn't learn that, and therefore he is executed. Esfei Rav Chisda. As we go on in the Gemara, it might be noted that the Yursos change Rava to Rabba. That we see in the Bach Ois Beis. So that when, as we go along in the Gemara, if you see Rava's name appearing, one may consider that it really represents either it's Rava himself representing Rabba, or possibly the Girsa could be changed to Rabba as well. So as we continue, we see now Rava attacking Rav Chisda. Esfei Rava le Rav Chisda. Hinoch meis al ha'isha asher lo kachto. This is a passage in the Tanakh where where Sarah was taken. Sarah, the wife of Avraham Avinu, Sarah Imenu, was taken, and just before intimacy took place, one who took her was informed that if you have relations with her, you will be subject to dying. This is an example of his thinking that she was the sister of Avram. This is a case of Omer Mutter. He thought that Sarah was not the wife of Avram, but the sister, and that she's allowed to be taken and engage in intimacy. And what does the pasuk say? Mace. We've dashed underlined that. That if he would do it, he would be subject to execution. My love, bide odom. The mace that's referred to in this pasuk is by a human court. So that this is Rabba's position, that Omer Mutter is korov lemezid, and therefore subject to being executed. The Gemara rejects this. Loi, bide shomayim. The hincha mace is a reference to being killed by heaven, but not by court. Dekonami, by careful reading, you can discover this. Dichtiv mechato li, where the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you will be, if you take her, you will be sinning to me. Sounds like a sin that's klapei shamayim, that's to Hashem alone, and that Hashem would be the one to take action, but not a human court. Well, the Gemara raises a question on this response and says, v'letameich, you who are trying to infer from the expression mechato li, what are you going to say regarding the following pasuk, v'chotasi leilokim? This pasuk appears with Yosef and the Ashes Potiphar, and she says that if I have relation, he says to the Ashes, to the wife of Potiphar, if I have relations to you, I will be sinning against God. Would you say leilokim v'lo la'adam? Would you say it's a sin against God and not against fellow man? That's not true. He knew that she was the wife of Potiphar, that and his relations with her would be an affront to her husband as well. Elo dino mosur l'odom. Even though he said v'chotasi l'elokim, the din, the court dealing with him, is something that the human court would take care of. Hachanami. Here too, in the case of the taking of Sarah Imenu, dino mosur l'adam, and not like Rav Chisda. The dino mosur l'adam, the court could take action. So you see that Omer Mutter is subject to court execution. Esfei Abaye l'rova. we've changed the way that we've dashed, that we've double underlined the question here to indicate that it's the question is taking a different direction. Here, Abaye is asking on Rabbah. This is a continuation of the taking of Sora, where Avimelech tries to argue his case to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he says, "Hey, you know, I didn't know that she was an Eishes Ish. Hagoy gam tzadik tarog? Would you kill an innocent man?" And the Hava Mina, the thought at this point in raising this question is that Hashem agrees with him, and that Omer Mutter would be Potter. That's like Abaye had argued on behalf of Rav Chisda above. So the Rava responds, not so. Hosam kide ko mehadri le iluya. There, in the case of Avimelech, who took Sora and tried to argue for his innocence, that he thought that she was his sister, and hence not his wife, and therefore he, Avimelech, could take her, but the Kodesh Baruch Hu said back to Avimelech as follows: Ve'ato, and now, Hoshev Eishes Ho'ish Ki Novi Hu. The pasuk in and of itself is unclear, and the Gemara refines the understanding. Before we go further, just note that all of this is part of a long answer, so that in order to understand Rava's response to Abaye's Kasha, it's necessary to read on a number of lines of Gemara. And this is indicated by the tuf that you see to the right hand side of the Gemara text that's encircled with a dashed vertical line which continues Talmud Beis several lines down the top, from the top. All of these lines are part of the answer. So unlike Avimelech, who thought that by arguing Hagoy Gam Tzadik Tarog would be grounds for his innocence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back to him, "You shall now restore the woman to her husband, because he is a Novi." Eishes Novi Hu Detader Delav Novi Lo Tehader. Does the requirement of returning the woman to her husband, is it only because she happens to be the wife of a prophet? And if he were a non-prophet, if he were a commoner, there would be no need to return her? That's absolutely ridiculous. It's not true, Ella. So how are we to understand the pasuk and hence the eventual answer? Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, like he teaches, Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omar Rav Yonasan, Hochi Ko Amar Lei. Thusly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Avimelech, V'ata Hoshev Eishes Ho'ish Mikomokom, it is now incumbent upon you to return the married woman under all circumstances, regardless of who her husband is. The fact that she has a husband is sufficient reason for you to be forbidden to be with her, and you must return her to her husband. Udeko Amris, and that which you said, Hagoy Gam Tzadik Taroig Halohu Omar Li Achosi Hi V'chulei Novihu. The Gemara here is quoting Psukim Dalid and Hey over there. So as far as your claims that of innocence, that he misrepresented her, you know who you were talking to? You were talking to Avram. He is a Novi. He is a man of insight, of wisdom, and he took note of your behavior regarding him, because when Avram came to town, came to you, you started asking him questions that ordinarily would not be raised. When a man comes to town with a woman, one doesn't ask about the relationship of the woman to the man. He is to assume that that's a couple, and one doesn't ask further questions. Umimcha lomad. And from you, from the way you asked him questions, from the way you, Avimelech, asked Avram questions, he knew to caution himself, and hence he represented her as his sister simply as a defense mechanism. Achsanoi Shebolir, a visitor that comes to a community, al iskiachilu shtiya sholem oso, it's proper etiquette to inquire regarding his food and drink. Klum shalim oso, but would anyone ask him, Ishtecha zu, Achoischa zu, is this your wife or is this your sister? Those are not appropriate, those are inappropriate questions. The fact that you
asked those questions, put him on the spot, because he's a Novi, because he's a man of insight and wisdom, he read into what you were trying to get at. And he saw that you were interested in taking his wife, and hence he and of course the custom there had been that had she been married to Avram, they would have simply killed the husband in order to in a somewhat warped form of legitimacy, feels that once the husband is not around, is killed, then his wife would be permissible. Hence, in order to save his own life, he represented her as his sister, and that was all a result of prompting that came from your type of questioning. Mikan, we see from this, Sheben Noyach Nerak, from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Avimelech would be subject to death if he takes her, that he is subject to death, Ben Noach Nerak, Shailo Lumo Velo Lomad, that he should have learned, he should have known better not to ask questions like that and put Avram on the defense. And in cases where he behaves in a way that he should have known better, which we call Hoyolo Lumo Velo Lomad, that is sufficient grounds for charging the offender with execution. The Mishnah. Hasuma Eino Goyle, Divrei Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Meir Omer Goyle. We see a machlokas tanaim concerning an unsighted individual, a blind man, who commits an inadvertent murder. According to Rabbi Huda, he doesn't go to Golus and to Ir Mikla, and according to Rabbi Meir, he does. Hasoine einoi goyle, one who commits what is possibly claimed to be an inadvertent murder, since he hated the victim, he does not go to Golus. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hasone Nerag, Mitneshu Kemuad. Rashi at the very top says, Mitneshu Kemuad, Kemusra Alov. He says, if he were warned, V'Oiver Al Hasra, and by committing the murder, he is violating the warning, the imagined warning, Devadai Ledas Horgo. It can be assumed that since the murderer hated the victim, that it was an intentional murder. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yesh Soine Geila, Vyesh Soine She'eno Geila. Rabbi Shimon qualifies. There are cases of Soine that are sent to Ir Miklat and some are not. Zehaklal. Kol Shehu Yocho Loimar. Any situation where it could be said, Lodas Horag, Eino Geila, that the murder appears to have been done with intent, so there is no golus. V'shalolodas harag, if it was committed without intent, hare ze goyle, there would be ir miklat. So according to Rav Shimon, there is a possibility of ir miklat even for a sone. As we turn to the Gemara, we also will note a topic heading that we've assigned to this section, the Nosei, Machloikas Tanoim im Sumo Goyle, a Tanaic controversy. Does a blind individual go, in the event that he commits an inadvertent murder, to an Ir Mikla? Beloi Ra'os. The Gemara here is quoting from the Pasuk, and it says there, Beloi Ra'os, that the murder was done without noticing. Prat Basuma, this excludes a Summa from Ir Mikla, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi explains, how does this Pasuk work? How does it exclude the blind man? So Rashi says, Beloi Ra'os, at the beginning of the Gemara commentary, Prat Basuma, the Mashma, the implication of the Pasuk is, Kan Lo Ra'a V'Ro'a Ro'a B'Mokom Acher, that only here, in this case where he committed the inadvertent murder, he did not see, but elsewhere he could see. Prat Lesumish in Aruba Shumakum. This would exclude a blind man who doesn't see anywhere. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Meir Omer, Beloi Ra'os, L'Rabois Es HaSuma. That very same expression, according to Rabbi Meir, seems to include the Suma as being a beneficiary or as being someone who is subject to Ir Mikla. My time of the Rabbi Huda. We've dashed underlined Rabbi Huda, and we're going to do the same two lines later with Rabbi Meir, so as you can see, make the name stand out and follow the discussion better. What is the basis for Rabbi Yehuda? Dechtiv. The pasuk says, "Vasher yavoi es rehu bayar."
Anyone who encounters his friend in the forest, which who's the anyone?
Afilu suma,
including a blind man.
Also b'loy ra'os.
Then comes along the expression of the pasuk b'loy ra'os me'ate. That after you have an inclusive expression, below ra'os comes to exclude the blind man. And we saw how below ra'os would work to exclude him, as Rashi explained above.
The Rebbe Meir, who's marve asuma, below ra'os equals lima'et.
In this sense, there's agreement that the expression below ra'os would exclude a suma from ir miklat. However, the pasuk also says bevli das, without intent, which all equals lema'et. That also is exclusionary. So what we have on our hands are two exclusionary expressions. And this, the Gemara explains, is having miut achar miut. This is an exclusionary expression following an exclusionary expression. Vein miut achar miut elo l'rabois. It's like two minuses are a plus. So that when you have a double exclusion, it in fact does the opposite, and it includes. And that's how Rebbe Meir comes to his idea that a blind man is included in the parsha of Ir Miklat. For Rebbe Yehuda, how does he address this? Bevli Das, the expression Bevli Das, has a separate function. Prat lemiskaven hu da'osa. That comes to exclude someone who murders with intent. Someone who murders with intent does not go to an ir miklat. But as far as Rebbe Yehuda is concerned, Bevli Das is not coming to exclude a blind man. So as far as Rebbe Yehuda is concerned, there's only one expression that excludes, namely the expression below ra'os, and that's called an exception, a mute, a limitation. And as a result of that, Rabbi Yehuda says that a suma is not, he's limited, he's excluded from golos. Rabbi Yossi Omer Hasone Nehrag. The Gemara asks, how can you execute the sone, v'ha lo asrube? We're talking about a murder that was done seemingly inadvertently. He didn't receive a warning, and it's generally accepted that in order for the court to carry out its punishment, its physical punishments, in this case execution, there would have to have preceded the action of the offender a warning. So the Gemara answers, Masnisin Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda hi. Our Mishnah, which seems to account for an execution without a prior warning, is in conformity to the approach of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Desanya, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chover Eino Tzara Chasro. Chover is a learned individual. A person who commits an offense, but the offender happened to be a learned person, he is subject to court punishment even without having received, prior to the commission of that particular offense, a warning. The whole purpose of Hasra, according to Rabbi Yossi Buda, is to create a distinction between a state of mind of shogeg, of lack of knowledge, and mazid, something done with intent. But since the individual under question is a chover, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, a chover already is knowledgeable. He is not assumed to be shogeg. For our purposes, the main thing to show is that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is an opinion that says that hasra, that a warning prior to commission of an offense, is not an integral part of the judicial process and the punishment procedure. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yesh Sone Gola V'chule. We've assigned a topic heading to this section of Gemara, though say, Shitas Rabbi Shimon Be'inyan Sone Gola. We'll try to nail Rabbi Shimon's opinion with regard to the Sone, the hater, and the possibility of his enjoying the benefits of Ir Miklat. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source, as you can see, as we've seen quite a few of them till now, framed off. Ketzad, Om Rabbi Shimon, Yesh Sone Gola, Yesh Sone Sheino Gola. Ketzad, how do we explain, how is it, according to Rabbi Shimon, that there are cases of Sone Gola and Sone that's not Gola? Answer, Nifsak Gola. If we're talking about, let us say, a
pail that's being drawn by a rope, and the rope snapped. It's nifsak, it tore, and the pail fell on the victim and killed him. So the sone, who was holding this pail with the rope with the pail attached to it, the sone would be gola, would go into an ir miklat. However, nishmat, if it slipped out of his hands, eino gola, then it's too suspicious. And we would say that it was done with intent, and there's no golus. There's no golus for premeditated murder. V'hotanya, the Gemara raises an objection from another source, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Notice how we've underlined Rabbi Shimon to draw your attention to the fact that the discussion surrounds Rishitas Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, le'olam eino gola ad sheyishmat machtzolo miyodo. According to this source, there is no golus with the exception of the case of slipping out of his hands. However, nifsak, in the case of a rope breaking, there is no golus, not for a sone and not for an ohev. So for nifsak, according to this, there is no golus. The source just before, we saw that nifsak is goyle. According to this second source, only in the case of nishmat is there goyle, of slipping out of his hands. This is in direct contradiction to what we said just above. Kasha nifsak a nifsak. Point for point, there is a contradiction in the realm of rope tearing. Kasha nishmat a nishmat. Regarding the slipping out of his hands, there's also a direct contradiction as far as that is concerned. In the first source, we saw that nishmat eino gola. In the second source, we saw that only if there's nishmat is there gola. The Gemara answers, nishmat anishmat lo kashya, ha ba'oyev ha b'ha b'sone. If you see a source that says nishmat is gola, that's because the one that was holding the rope, which slipped out of his hands, was an ohev, someone who liked, who was had affinity for the victim. In the case that we saw that nishmat is eino gola, the first source, that's because the one that was holding it was a sone, was a hater. Nifsak a nifsak lo kashya, as far as the sources are concerned regarding the rope tearing, there too is no contradiction. Ha Rebbe, the Ha Rabbanan. This answer recounts for us a machlokes that we saw in the Mishnah between Rebbe and the Rabbanan regarding someone chopping a tree with an axe, and as he was chopping the tree or chopping the wood, a piece of wood flung out and killed a bystander. According to Rebbe, that's the case of golus. However, in the case of an axe head flying off the axe handle, and that metal axe head flying off the wooden handle, and it killing, according to Rebbe, there is no golus. And the opposite is the case with regard to the Rabbanan. Now, how does that tie in to the issue of the nishmat, the slipping out of the hands of the pail and the rope that was in the holder's hands? This is explained by Rashi. We take a look in the Rashi. Nifsak a nifsak lo kashya. The case of the rope tearing, that we have to say this a little more accurately than we said before, the case of the rope tearing and the contradiction between the two sources is resolved by assigning one to Rebbe and the other to the Rabbanan. And we mentioned the Machlokis Rebbe and the Rabbanan already with regard to the axe head flying off and killing, and the other case of the piece of wood flinging out from the tree and that killing. Now we look at the Rashi, nifsak a nifsak lo kashya, ha Rebbe v'ha Rabbanan, Ha dekatani nifsak goyla, the source that indicated that nifsak is goyla, that would be the first of the two sources. That's afilu besone. Even if the one that was holding the pail with the rope, that tour happened to be a hater, the kol shekein bohev, and certainly if the holder had been one who had affinity for the victim. Now, that is de Rabbonan, de Rabbi Shimon. This is the Rabbonan. According to Rabbi Shimon, Hu de Omar Nishmat HaBarzel Mikito V'Horag Goyle. That particular shita that we made reference to before that holds that if the axe head flies off of its wooden handle and thereby kills somebody, the offender would go to Golus. The Nifsak HaChevel, the idea of the rope snapping, Dumya de Nishmat HaBarzel Mikito Hu, is similar to the case of the axe head flying off. What do they have in common? Shenishar ho'eged biyodo, because that which was in his hands remains in his hands. In the case of the axe handle that he was holding before the head of the axe flipped off, that same handle remains in his hands even after the axe head flung off. Likewise, with the pail and the rope. The rope that was in his hands before, when everything was complete, remains in his hands after the rope snaps. That part of the rope that's in his hands remains in his hands. V'ha dekatani nifsak eno gole. The source that said rope snapping does not go to golos. That is the shita that in the case of the axe head flying off also said there's no golos. Rebihi de omar nishmat abaza mikito eno gole. Where the axe head flings off of the wooden handle, no golus. Vuadin lechevel shenifsak. And the same would be the case, the same, namely, no golus with regard to the rope that snapped. Ach yishmat mach tzolo miyodo. She nishar biyodo klum. According to Rebbe, the only time there would be golus is that if everything slipped out of his hands, where nothing is left in his hands. Dumya dumino eitz hamizbakea. Similar to the case of the wood chip that, or the wood splinter that flung forth from the tree, that the, as far as the wood is concerned, there was nothing left in the hands of the chopper with that wood flinging forward and killing somebody. Turning back to the Gemara, we can now say that as far as these two sources are concerned, we've resolved the issue of the contradiction with regard to Nifsak and with regard to Nishmat. We now continue with the Mishnah. Lehechon Goylin. To where do the inadvertent murderers go to exile? Liore Miklot. To the cities of refuge, L'sholosh Shebei Vayardin, L'sholosh Shebei Eretz Canaan, three that were in Transjordan, namely on the eastern bank of the Jordan, the eastern section, which is a piece of land that was part of Eretz Yisrael at the time that the Jews left Mitzrayim. 2.5 Shvatim acquired that as their portion, and there are three in Eretz Canaan proper on the western bank of the Jordan. Shenemar, as Sholosh Orim Titnu, Me'eva Le'arden, Ve'es Sholosh Orim Titnu, Be'eretz Canaan, V'chulei. The Pasuk itself indicates three in Transjordan and three in Eretz Canaan. Ad Shelo Nivchu Sholosh Be'eretz Yisrael, Lo Hoyu Sholosh Be'eva Yarden Koltos. Until the three cities of refuge in Eretz Yisrael proper were not chosen, the ones that were chosen prior in Eiver HaYarden would not protect. They wouldn't. Koltos is to absorbed within. We'll say protect. Shenemar. How do we know that the three earlier ones do not go into effect, into action, or into operation until the other three in Israel proper, which, by the way, took a period of 14 years, the 14 years of Kibush V'chiluk, after Yehoshua entered Eretz Yisrael, so that we're saying that the three cities that were in Transjordan would not go in. They had to wait 14 years until they would go into effect as cities of refuge, even though they were denoted or pointed out beforehand. This is indicated by the pasuk that says Shesh Orei Miklot Tiena, which we interpret to mean Ad Sheyu Sheshton Koltos Kachas, until all six function together. Umechuvonos Lahem Drochim Mizu Lazu, and there were roads that were direct from one to the other. Shenemar Tochim Lucha Aderech V'Shilashto V'Chulei. Umosrim Lahem Shnei Tamidei Chachamim. And we would supply to the Roitzchem B'Shogeg, to the murderers on their way to the Ir Miklat, two scholars, Shema Yargenu B'Derech Vidabru Elov, in the event that the Goyel Hadom, the avenger, the nearest of kin of the victim, of the inadvertent murder, would come and attempt to kill the murderer, these Talmidei Chachamim would speak to him and try to dissuade him. Rabbi Meir Omer, Hu Medaber Al Yudei Atzmo. According to Rabbi Meir, there doesn't seem to be a need for the Talmidei Chachamim. It would be sufficient for the murderer himself to speak on his own behalf. Shenemar Vezeh Dvar HaRotzeach. The word Dvar indicates Dibor. This is the speech of the Rotzeach himself. He would address the Goyel Hadam. Rabbi Yossi Bravido Omer, B'tchilo Echot Shogeg V'Echot Meizid Makdimin L'Ori Miklat. At the beginning of the judicial process concerning a murderer, whether he had been an inadvertent murderer or a seemingly deliberate murderer, both offenders, the Shogeg and the Meizid, go to the Ir Miklat. U'Bezdin Shochin Mavino Yisam Misham. And Bezdin sends and brings them from there. In other words, Bezdin prosecutes the case, investigates what really happened through cross-examination of witnesses and whatever else is necessary. And we numbered off three possible results. Number one, Mishin is Chayav Misa, Bezdin Horgohu, someone who they determined committed intentional murder. He is then sent to from the Ir Miklat. He's brought out of the Ir Miklat, and Bezdin executes him. V'shalon is chayav misa, someone who was totally innocent. Potru, they exempted him. They exonerated him, and he leaves the Ir Miklat as an innocent man. Number three, mishin is chayav golos, someone who was determined to have committed an inadvertent murder, and hence chayav exile. Machzirin oso l'makomo, he's sent back to his place, namely to the Ir Miklat that he went to initially. Shenemar v'heishivu oisoi ha'eda el Ir Miklato, he is returned to the Ir Miklat. This section of the Gemara is introduced by our nosei, our topic heading. The nosei says mikumam, the positioning shel orei hamiklat be'eretz Yisrael ube'ever hayarden, where they were located in Eretz Yisrael and in Transjordan. Tana Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source that contains this information. Shalosh Orem Hivdil Moshe Be'Evra Yardin. Moshe Rabbeinu set aside three cities in Transjordan. As everyone knows, Moshe Rabbeinu did not enter Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael proper, but he was in Transjordan, and when there, he denoted three cities, Ukenegdon, and opposite them, Hivdil Yehoshua Be'Eretz Canaan. He set aside three in Eretz Canaan proper. The three cities in Transjordan were positioned opposite the three cities in Eretz Yisrael, making them appear as two rows in a vineyard, where you have vines planted in rows, and in each row one will notice a vine in the second row opposite it. The names of the cities are as follows, and they're mentioned in the source, and we've also provided a diagram to help you see this visually. So starting from the south, Chevron Yehuda, Chevron in the Yehuda region, the southern region of Eretz Yisrael, Keneged Betzer Bamidbar, Keneged, a city called Betzer in Transjordan, which was a desert area. Shechem v'Har Ephraim, Shechem in the midsection of Eretz Yisrael, which is located in Har Ephraim, Keneged Ramos b'Gilad, opposite Ramos, a place in Gilad. Gilad is the Transjordan area. Kadesh b'Har Naphtali, Keneged Golan v'Boshan, and the city of Kadesh in the northern section of Israel, opposite Golan in the Boshan. Boshan being the northern part of the Transjordan area. V'shilashta, the Pasuk uses this expression, Shiyu Mishuloshim, that there should be equal distancing between locations. Shie Midorom L'Chevron, the distance from the southern border of Israel to Chevron, the southern city of refuge, should be the same distance K'mechevron L'Shchem, from Chevron to Shchem, and U'mechevron L'Shchem, the distance between Chevron and Shchem, K'mishchem L'Kadesh, should be the same distance as from Shchem to the northern city of refuge. U'mishchem L'Kadesh, and the distance between Shchem and Kadesh, should be the same as K'mikadesh L'Tzafon, from Kadesh to the northern border. With that, we complete our shiur for today.